3, 2, 1, boom! Broadcasting live from the center of the universe, presenting the world's only business school without the BS, with optometrist and entrepreneur Dr. Robert Zellner and USSBA Entrepreneur of the Year, Clay Clark. Get ready to enter the Thrive Time Show on Talk Radio 1170.
Yes, sir. It's Ian Clay, broadcasting from the box in the 918. Hey, business school in the topic today. Check the syllabus, it's getting you paid.
We are going to have a massive rendezvous at the Riverwalk here in beautiful Jinx, America. And many of you have already flown in. Some of you have already stopped by the offices. It's exciting, Chip. Before every workshop, it's fun because you see people from all over the world making their way to Tulsa. Friends and families of theirs are saying, hey, where are you going? And they
What's
go,
the deal?
I'm going to Tulsa. And they say, is that in Iowa? And they say, I'm going to Tulsa to a workshop. And they say, is that like the sod farm capital of the world? They say, I'm going to Tulsa. And they're like, isn't that where that J. Paul Getty movie was about? I mean, a lot of people have never been to Tulsa before.
Yeah.
But, Chuck, we're turning Tulsa into the number one tourist attraction for small business owners.
Hey, that river is looking fine.
Oh, it is looking fine. Oh, it is looking fine. Know. All the time. Now, today we have an opportunity to sit down and do an exclusive interview with Lee Cockerell, the former executive vice president of Walt Disney World Resorts. And during this interview, I asked him about how do you excite a team of any size every week? And so, Steve Currington, I want to get your take on this because you manage Total Ending Concepts.
Yep.
And I know that for you, for me, and for any small business owner, at some point in our career, we've had a hard time inspiring a team every week. Because a lot of times it's easy when they're new, when they first start working with you, or they first kind of, when you first start the company. But why, in your mind, why is it such a challenge for people to excite a small business team or to keep people engaged week after week? And why is there always that excitement about something new?
Well, Clay, as you well know, it's not possible to inspire everyone. You know, the whole Simon Sinek book, start right. with why, let's start that fight.
Right.
But I think that it starts with having the right people on your team.
Yep.
And making sure that you're selecting people that fit on the team that can work to a common goal.
For those of you who missed my previous shows where I freaked out about Simon Sinek and his terrible, terrible book called The Power of Why, the book by Simon Sinek, The Power of Why, it talks about how great leaders can inspire everyone. And if you missed the episodes yesterday and the day before, I would encourage you to go to Thrive Time Show and listen to the archived podcast from the last 2 days where Lee Cockerell explains in great detail that Steve Currington is 100% right. He explains that you cannot inspire everyone, so it starts with hiring great people. Now, once right. the great people are on your team, though, it's on you to keep them engaged.
Yeah.
You've got to find a way to do it. And so how do you deliver consistent customer service over a decade, over years? How does he manage 40,000 people? Chup, I'm fired up for this interview with Lee Cockerell.
You know what? I'm more fired up than you are.
Really? There's a lot of fire.
I can't wait to meet him.
Without any further ado, this incredible interview with Lee Cockerell, the executive vice president of Walt Disney World Resorts, who once personally managed 40,000 employees and was responsible for over 1 million customers every single week.
You have worked in the hospitality and service industry for years, ultimately culminating where you were managing. How many employees were you managing at Disney
World? I had 40,000 under my area.
So 40,000 employees. It's just to give some context. Wrigley Field, I was reading, has, I think, 37,000 people it can hold or something. So Wrigley Field can hold about as many people as you were managing. That's insane, especially a lot of entrepreneurs in America today. The U.S. Small Business Administration says that a little over 90% of all business owners have 10 employees or less. So you're managing 40,000. The average business owner is managing 10. And so what I'm going to try to do is make a lot of these questions applicable to the average guy who's got 10 employees or less. So can you describe to the average person, what does great customer service look like in your mind? Whether you have 10 employees or 40,000, what does great customer service look like?
Well, you know, I think when we think about it at Disney or Marriott, it's consistency. It's delivering what the guest expects. It's giving them a little something extra. I always talk about what's extra look like. We might talk about it later, but I said, if you're running a little dry cleaners and you got 6 employees and you open at 7, get there at 6:30 and unlock the door for the guy who happens to show up early so you don't have that sign closed. And if you close at 7, stay around till 7:30 for the lady running late. And all of a sudden your reputation's just going to grow and grow and grow. When you have only 10 employees, you got to really work harder at getting great people, because if you hire one bad one, 10% of your people are not good. So, you know, at Disney, we have a lot of demand. So for the entrepreneur, they're going to have to be looking for those people when they go to the mall, when they go to McDonald's, when they looking for that good attitude and somebody meeting people every day so you can pick these people off, asking your friends and neighbors if they know any good kids that want to work for you. And I think a lot of young people want to be in a small business today. They want to be entrepreneurs themselves, and they like that life of not working in a big corporate structure.
What made the Disney service experience so magical?
First thing that makes it magical is we hire the right people. We're very careful who we hire. We're looking for people with passion and can-do attitude. The skill we're not worried about. We'll train you.
You're not worried about the skill?
No, until you get up to high technical jobs. But
it's pretty counter.
Most of the employees down this way, you got somebody that's going to be checking somebody in on a front desk. They don't have to have any experience. I'll train them.
So you're.
And I need the attitude.
I want to repeat that again. That you're saying you don't hire for skill. You hire for passion.
Attitude.
Attitude.
Can-do attitude versus can't-do attitude.
Mm.
We all know who those people are. The problem with can-do and can't-do, you know, it's very interesting. What we found out is when we do interview, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but finding people who know how to overcome obstacles, because we all have them every morning.
Yeah.
And the can-do people just figured it out.
You oversaw, I believe, 40,000 people. Basically like an army of employees. Again, I mean, it's basically a baseball stadium worth of a size of group of people. What was the actual total? Before you retired, what was the number of people you managed?
I think it was in the 40s, 40,000 that were under operations, which I was responsible for, and plus 5,000 managers.
And how many direct reports came to you?
Yeah, I had different times over the years. The 10 years I was there, we reorganized a few times. At one point I had 6, one time I had 14. And actually I had the 14 first, and then eventually got to see I needed to really reorganize because that was too many to try to keep up with. And but it worked good. I mean, I'm not a manager that has a need to know everything. I hire great people and then I let them do their job.
Yeah.
I don't wake at night worrying about what I don't know. And I try to focus on where I should be spending my time, not bothering them all day long. If I've hired a great person, I let them do their job, and they communicate with me.
If I own a small business, how many people should I ideally be? How many people ideally should be reporting directly to me?
Yeah, I mean, if you got a business of 10, you probably want them all.
Okay.
Why don't have somebody 20? Between you and them? You know, every time you put somebody between you and everybody else, it gets diluted. The communication. Okay. The expectations, everything gets diluted. And if you have 20, you may want to have one person that takes care of operations while you take care of running the HR area and the payroll and financing the business and inventory and purchasing. And you kind of have, as you get bigger, you need one person that's looking after the customer.
Yeah.
And somebody's looking after the administration as you get bigger, for sure.
As I've been around you a little bit, and I've tried to watch as much I can on, you know, YouTube or Vimeo about you and read your books, one of the things is that I've discovered about you and every successful entrepreneur I've ever been around or business person, you have the ability, or at least you have decided you're going to inspire your team. And I see entrepreneurs that are struggling, it seems like they don't inspire their team or seem like they have a lot of patience or a lot of desire to inspire their team. Talk to me about how important it is to keep your entire team, all 40,000 cast members, inspired.
Well, I think it's everything at Disney because the work's hard. I mean, it's not magical to work in there every day. It's like hard work. After you've served 8,000 people for lunch and cooked 1,000,000 pounds of French fries and cleaned up the tables and parked 1,200 strollers and wheelchairs, it's hard work. And so we want people to – we have a purpose statement at Disney, which we remind our employees, cast members all the time. And it goes like this, so that they can keep some inspiration. And we said, you know, we all have a different role at Disney. Everybody's got a different job, but we only have one purpose. And that's to make sure that every guest who comes to Disney World has the most fabulous time of their life.
Whether every guest needs the most fabulous time of their life.
Whether you're an engineer, whether you're a cook, whether you're a, you may never see a customer, but you still have the ability to make sure they have the most wonderful time by cooking that burger perfectly, salting those fries, because it'll end up out there. We all impact the customer experience.
If we're on a motorboat through life and we're on this water and we're kind of, over time people kind of drift if they take their eye off the, you know, if we know we need to go from this shore to that shore and we kind of take our eye off the horizon line or off the shore, we kind of drift.
You can.
How do you keep the Disney ship from drifting? How do you keep the team inspired ongoing? What kind of systems do you have to keep the team inspired?
Well, certainly leadership matters. I mean, we all want to work for somebody who is a good role model and who makes us, has high energy and a positive person, a person who helps us. Every time a cast member would tell me they have a great leader, I'd say, tell me why. They said, oh, they're help us, they're always available, they come out. When I need to talk to them, they'll talk to us. They helped me get through it. I had a rough situation. They worked me through it. They gave me time off when I needed it. They cared about me. And I think that in the workplace today, a lot of people have worked at other places where they're just like a person. Nobody knows them. They don't know their aspirations, what they're trying to achieve. We don't help them achieve it. We don't help them get into the right classes. We don't give them the right feedback. And we basically don't care. We don't tell them how much we care about them. And we want to help them be successful.
Thrive Nation, if you've ever struggled to get your team to deliver a world-class experience on a daily basis, I really do think we should all listen to that portion of the program over and over and over again, because that's what was so magical about my time with Lee Cockrell in Orlando, was that the guy does the same thing every day, like 7 days a week, like a machine. For years, he gets up at the same time, manages the same team, executes the same systems, gets people inspired every day. He doesn't stop interviewing people, doesn't stop picking up trash. The excellence is in the consistency. And I think consistency is something that so many people struggle with. It's just a huge struggle. I mean, Eric, I mean, don't you think as a business coach that consistency is a huge issue for the majority of aspiring small business owners?
I feel like a lot of people out there, business owners or not, they view consistency as kind of a burden. It's like something they're trying to get away from instead of something they should be embracing. Does that make sense?
That was deep, bro.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you're running from it because deep. You don't want to be tied to it. But that's the only way to have a successful, growing business, is to be consistent.
That right there could be the most profound thing you've ever said. It's not a burden to be consistent.
Right.
You absolutely need to do that. Now, we come back from the break. Lee Cockrell explains that every day is showtime in the world of business, and that you must absolutely set high expectations for your customer service experience. My name is Clay Clark. I'm a business coach, and I'd encourage you to never miss a broadcast and to listen to the exclusive podcast-only editions of our exclusive interviews with Lee Cockrell by subscribing to the Thrive Time Show podcast today. Again, never miss a radio broadcast. Maybe you're in your car and you miss a segment or two. You can hear all of them, and we've got about 25 more Lee Cockrell exclusive podcasts available for you today at Thrive Time Show. But you got to go to the podcast portion of the website. Go to thrivetimeshow.com, click on podcasts, subscribe to the podcasts. I would really appreciate if you'd leave us an objective review. And when we come back, more with Lee Cockrell here on the Thrive Time Show.
I remember my days back in the dorm room, tuned to the gloom like the temple of doom, overwhelmed with the doubts that try to consume my hope for the future that I could pursue.
Presenting the world's only business school without the BS.
The Z and I be the C, teaching business skills from Clay to Z. We both grew up poor, but we're poor no more. The goal of this show is to help you score. So I couldn't see the light until my son could see, but I learned to rock the mic in the high school scene. A young
All
DJ
right, Thrive Nation, welcome back to the conversation. It is my honor and great privilege to have interviewed Lee Cockrell, the former executive vice president of Walt Disney World Resorts. We've all gone to Disney World, or we know someone who has. We always hear that they have great customer service. We always hear that the standard of excellence is high. But we're only there visiting Disney World for 5 days or 7 days or 3 days. But what the magic of Disney World, and from my perspective as a business owner, is that they do it 365 days a year.
Right.
That's where the excellence is. So, again, I mean, you talk about athletes. They always ask, you know, should this athlete go into the Hall of Fame? There's always a debate around a baseball player. You know, should this guy go into the Hall of Fame? Should this football player go into the Hall of Fame? Should this basketball player? And the defining aspect of whether somebody gets into the Hall of Fame or not comes down to not just their performance, but their ability to maintain that performance at a high level for a long period of time. And so I see so many business owners that talk about something that is not actually a thing. It is a justification, but it is promoted by our society and our culture. And everybody who you know doesn't manage Walt Disney World. Everybody that you know isn't Jack Welch. Everybody you know isn't Dr. Zellner. And they talk about this absolute BS called burnout. And they say, oh, yeah, I got to do something new. I'm getting burned out. Burned out? It's called you're a mental quitter. So once you find something and you're good at it, if you want to go to the Hall of Fame for it, bore down. Don't get bore dumb. Bore down. Whenever you start to get a new idea and you're getting excited about the new thing, but your thing that you started isn't really doing well, you got to bore down. You got to hire people that bore down. You got to be consistent. Consistency is absolutely what makes greatness in the world of business, in the world of sports, in the world of financial planning, anything. It's consistency in the world of marriage, in the world of being a good father. It's consistency.
How about just in the world?
You have to. Yeah. But people always teach that, oh, no, there's a new thing.
Right.
But once you find the thing, you've got to be consistent. And I know that people struggle with this. And so my hope and my prayer is that Lee Cockrell, the former executive vice president of Walt Disney World Resorts, who used to manage 40,000 employees and used to have to accommodate. Think about that. Every week they have over 1 million customers at Disney World. He's going to break down the knowledge you cannot get in college. Without any further ado, my exclusive interview with Lee Cockrell.
But it seemed like everybody was really on stage. You know, Disney, you call them cast members, the employees. It seemed like every person we encountered seemed like they were full of joy and wanted to be there. And can you describe to me what kind of people you're looking to hire at Disney? What kind of people you looked to hire at Disney?
Yeah, we really look for nice people, people with big personalities, people that actually enjoy dealing with people. People who are not too introverted. They can stand out there 8 hours when it's hot and kids are screaming and take care of the guests and go. And they like to serve. You know, there's something called a spirit of service. You know, you've got to have it if you don't mind serving people. And some people don't like to serve people. And we just do a better job, I think, of hiring those people.
You just said something that I don't want to skip over. You said people that aren't too introverted. Now, there's nothing wrong with introverted people. There's a place for them on the planet. There's things they do well.
Right.
But you wouldn't hire them to work at Disney, aren't there?
Well, we wouldn't hire them to be guest-facing. We might hire them to be in the back and purchasing and storeroom receiving. Introverted people are fine, but there's a place where you need. You know, it's like when you pick somebody for the Broadway show. They got to have certain talents.
You didn't feel bad about that, though, not hiring an introverted person to work with your guests?
No. And, you know, there's somebody's got to pull the curtain at Broadway. Well, maybe they ought to be pulling the curtain and not be one of the actors.
Okay.
It's like, say, everybody can't be a professional baseball player. Some people got to clean the...
Well, you kind of answered this, but what kind of people was Disney not looking to hire?
Well, we're skeptical about people who change jobs every few months. We are skeptical, about people who can't explain to us why they change jobs.
Okay.
But we're looking for people who really enjoy being with guests, who enjoy being with people who, again, they just have the right attitude and they can explain that. They can explain how they do it in their personal life, how they enjoy being around people, how they enjoy taking care of difficult situations. Because you get a lot of those at Disney.
There's a mentor of mine who told me, he said, Clay, your business is not a church. It is a business. And he was trying to explain to me that, like, I shouldn't hire the people amongst our population with the most personal problems possible. I should really find people that have it together and try to hire those people because my customers won't come back if I irritate them all the time. Can you explain the fine line? Because I know you're a kind-hearted person. You do care about people. Oh. I know you've demonstrated that. How do you...
I think people can have personal problems as long as they don't bring them to work. That's okay. What we very clearly explained to them. We all got personal problems.
Everyone does.
But we want you to understand, if you're going to work here, you cannot bring those. And if you've got an attitude problem and you got to go out there and you want to argue with fellow cast members in front of our guests and say inappropriate things and not have your name tag on and not shine your shoes and not comb your hair, you're not going to be here.
Yeah.
We are putting on a show, and we're putting on a hit show, not a second off-Broadway. We're putting an on-Broadway show, and it takes talent to do that.
Now, a lot of small businesses I work with all across the country, they'll find a top talent, and they'll say, this person is the chosen one. This is the person we want to hire. We want to bring them on our team. And, again, they only have 10 employees or less. They don't have hundreds of employees. Yeah. They have 10 employees or less. How important is it in your mind to wow that new recruit on that first day of work? When that new recruit comes there, how important is it for you to really make a great first impression?
Well, we obviously at Disney think that's important because we have a very uplifting first day for everybody, where they're watching cartoons and Snow White and all the fluff, how magical Disney is. Then you get to the workplace, and your boss wants you to cook French fries for 8 hours and mop the floor. And we try to make sure that we try to get that experience still positive. It's kind of like, when's the best time to bond with a baby? Right away. Hold them, hug them, love them. Same with a new employee. Stay close to them. Take them to lunch. Make sure they get their check on time. Make sure you're talking to them about the long-term advantages of staying at Disney, because they're not committed when they come to work the first day. They don't know what a great career they can have. So right away, we're trying to get all over that so they don't quit. Still at Disney, just like first 90 days are touchy, because we lose most of our people in the first 90 days.
Did you guys have an outlined, documented system for the first 90 days?
It depends. Every job has a different list. If you're working on a front desk, the training's about 30 days.
So day one, you do this. Day
cleaning
two,
the bathroom might be 7 days. Cooking might be 12 days. Every job has a period.
But there was a definite timeline of
learn, and it's a sign-off that you've learned this and this and this and this. Including
you sign off on it.
Yeah, your manager does. It's a little checklist they sign off on. Make sure you've had that training.
All right, Thrive Nation, welcome back to the conversation. It is the Thrive Time Show on your radio. And now during this portion of the broadcast, we're going to be interviewing Lee Cockrell after the break about the importance of setting high expectations in your office as it relates to customer service and every single aspect of your business. The importance of setting high expectations when we return.
We all have a wish and we all want to win, but we cannot begin without self-discipline. If you fall on your face, get yourself up again. Attach yourself to goals, not fail with the friends. When the storms get rough and they scatter and leave, you only be there with yourself and what you believe. We believe in you, but not as much as God does. If you're going through hell, he's got nothing but love. Apply what you...